Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly. And we are very glad and very happy that you are there in Venezuela with all the brethren there. And we are praying to God that He allows us to be there in Venezuela soon and to share with all the brethren over there in the activities that we will have. And thus, enjoy everything that God gives us for all the Venezuelan people and also for all the brethren in all parts of the world. Because of the current situation, well, we have not been able to go, but the brothers should know that it is not that we haven't wanted to be there, but that we haven't been able to be there. But my heart is with you, Venezuelan people, and I know that all the brethren here in Puerto Rico as well, we are with you, hand in hand, and now we are seeing each other through the satellite Amazonas by internet, but I will be with you very soon. May God bless the Venezuelan people and help them. May they be delivered soon, as it was spoken. May that word be fulfilled soon. Today, Sunday, December 22nd of this year, 2024, we thank our Heavenly Father that we are here in Puerto Rico again, and you have already heard some little things that were spoken this morning, and also with the lion cubs whom we visited, about everything that God has been carrying out at this time, which corresponds to the restoration of the kingdom and throne of David. And have a Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2025 to everyone. May God pour out great blessings upon all God's elect who have come up to the age of the cornerstone, spiritual blessings, material blessings, and may He always open our understanding, open the scriptures to us. May He give us all the wisdom that we need, and may He keep us healthy and strong until our transformation. In the eternal and glorious name, as Son of David, King of kings and Lord of lords, O eternal God, in your claiming work, William, amen and amen. For this occasion, we have the subject, the prophecies for the restoration of the kingdom of David. It was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago, July 8 of 2006 in Santiago de Chile, in Chile. And let's search in the book of Revelation, in chapter 11, verse 15, where it tells us, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." He writes there, to the right, the kingdoms of the world. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and on, it tells us, And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and he writes upward there, the whole world is deceived. And he writes Revelation 13:14, 9 verse 1 and 9 verse 11. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. And above he writes Revelation 11:15, For the accuser of our brethren is cast out, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And there he writes Revelation 5 from 9 to 10. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And there he draws a Star of David. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The prophecy is for the restoration of the kingdom of David. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, pray and work for the peace of Jerusalem, which was preached on Saturday, January 21st of 2012, in Bogotá, Colombia, it says. And when we speak of the coming of the kingdom of God, of which Christ said while teaching his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, where he says, After this manner, therefore, pray, chapter 6, verse 8 and on, and especially verse 10, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, or here on earth. In the book of the ages, the unedited one, on page 614 from the book in Spanish, this is from the message, Revelation, or Revelation chapter 4, part 3. It tells us, How did it? Self-will? Why will you call that self-will, Brother Branham? Because it puts a man and a woman back again, just like Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden. And on the left, he writes, Free will. On what? The two trees. Self-will. This one is death. This one is life. Self-will. Immoral. Free moral agency. God placed the first man, Adam and Eve, right here on free moral agency. He places you the same place. And the only way that you can get this thing fixed in here is your own self-will. Hallelujah! Your self-will. You have to will to do God's will. You have to get rid of your own will to let God's will come in. For this is the only channel that leads to the heart. Oh, you can join church, you Baptists and Presbyterians. There in the previous paragraph, on the left, he draws three circles, a cornerstone and the ages. And in the middle circle, he makes a check mark and also in the cornerstone a check mark like this. And there he writes free will as well. All of that on the bottom left, the three circles, the cornerstone and the ages, and free will, or once again, because he write it above. And you Methodists and pilgrims' holiness can come to sanctification, but you have to will to do God's will, self-will, to let the Holy Spirit come in here to bring forth. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay their hands on the sick and take up deadly things, and so forth. These signs shall follow them that has let their will become my will. And the works that I do shall they do also. There he makes three circles again, and a cornerstone, and the ages, and he also makes a check mark on the little circle in the center and on the cornerstone. I hope you don't miss it. There is a will to do God's will. You see what I mean? Now, our brother William continues to say, how is the will of God going to be done on earth? It's through the one who will see it on the throne of David at the last day. Notice how the will is going to be done. Through the one who will see it on the throne of David. In the same sentence, before saying, give us this day our daily bread, it says, thy kingdom come. For what? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For God's will to be done on earth. In the book of the ages, edited, in this one is 188, and in this other is 187. There it tells us on page 172 from the book in English, where it starts to say, the members of the Virgin Bride will love him, and they will have his potentials, for he is their head, and all power belongs to him. They are subject to him, as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. And there, on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father, John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and the bride. He shows her his word of life. She received it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will rise it up again. The water will rise it up again. Here is the secret of this thing. Here is the secret of this thing. The word is in the bride. As it was in Mary, and there he draws a little cornerstone. The bride has the mind of Christ, and there on the left he draws a cornerstone and he writes, mind. Here in this one, he writes, Mary equals the bride. He also wrote there, there is no more death. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. In harvest, there on the right he writes, or he draws a Star of David. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages. they have thus says the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling His own word, that is, doing God's will. He did not complete all His work while in His earthly ministry, so now He works in and through the bride. There He writes on the right, the Holy Spirit works in and through the bride. Galatians 1:1-6, and He draws a cornerstone and the ages. She knows that, for it was not yet time for Him to do certain things that He must now do, but He will now fulfill through the bride that work which He left for this specific time. Now, notice, our brother William continues to say here, it is in the only way that the people on planet Earth and all nations will do the will of God on Earth. And also in the book of quotations, let's go to page 69. Paragraph 603, it tells us, in Genesis 1:26-28, He made man in His own image. And in His own image, He writes, Theophany, created him and give him, subdued the kingdoms and give him all these powers and everything, and yet He had never created the man yet. Now, notice in Genesis again, 1:21, God created whales in the sea. He done everything and made the creation, made man in His own image. And again He writes, Theophany, made man, not a man, whole man, all of them, in His own image. And again He writes there, Theophany. It's God speaking in His thoughts, in His mind, what He had. Here's where He actually done the deed. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and above He writes, in the mind. And above the paragraph, on page 69, notice, He writes there, Adam equals in the image of God, Theophany. He had all the power. Adam equals in the image of God, Theophany. He had all the power. Now, it continues to say here where we left off, it is the only way that the people on planet Earth and all the nations will do the will of God on Earth, because they will be ruled by God from the throne of David in the restoration of the kingdom of David, and that will happen through the manifestation of God in the Messiah, the Anointed One with the Spirit of God, and that corresponds to the last day. On page 30 from the Book of Quotations, on paragraph 252, look, it tells us, God poured Himself into Christ, correct? Correct. Christ poured Himself into the church. Therefore, now watch. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. At that day you'll know it, for it's the whole thing. The whole thing is one plan of redemption coming down, that God coming back to live in and dwell with and commune to His people as He did at the beginning. Now, then, as soon as He gets His church in speaking conditions, gets His church to a place that He can flow Himself through and love and persuade and fellowship, Then there will come an Eden, and on the left he writes, Eden. He will take his church back where it left him at, back to an Eden again, there where it fell. And on the right he writes, restoration to Eden. And he draws a cornerstone. That's where it made its first start or fall. There is where it'll be taken right back with every clean slate of redemption, bringing them straight back to that place again. And he writes on the right, Adam. And he writes, redemption, Eden. In the message, God's gifts always find their places. Preached by Reverend William Branham on page 15 of this message in English. Now, look, he preached this message a day like today, on a Sunday, December 22nd of 1963. Now, look what he says there. The whole creation was lost. We just went through that in the seven seals. See? The whole creation was lost. Everything was gone. It all belonged to Satan. He fell heir to it, and he still owns it. He certainly does. That's the reason we're fighting and having all of this trouble. He controls every kingdom, Satan does. We saw his writing there. The whole world is deceived. Satan does. Every government, every king, every kingdom controlled by Satan. The whole world is controlled and run by Satan. That's the reason we have the troubles that we have. Any Bible student or anything can tell you that Satan, well, the Bible itself says he did, see, that he controls the world, but Christ will fall heir to it, for now he is our Redeemer, and he come to redeem the whole creation, and nothing could do it but God himself. That's the reason that God does nothing outside of a man. He always works through a man because he had to use a man. A man is what he had to use to display his attribute of Savior. He had to make him in his image, make him something like him, and put him on free moral agency and let him act any way he wanted to. He could take his choice. And there he writes, God uses the man. And he knew that man, by giving him this choice, would fall. So being that he had to do that, he turns back around and makes the man a partner to him, and does nothing except he does it through a man. And he writes, God does nothing without a man. The whole work of redemption come by a man. Hallelujah. Death come by the first man. Life come by the second Adam. And he writes second Adam to the left. See, there you are. He does nothing because he had to use a man for that. Then he uses a man to redeem back again. So deity become Jehovah, or Jehovah. He is deity, and he become a child. He become in the form of sin, that he might redeem the sinner. See? There's the whole thing. In the message titled, The Feast of the Trumpets, which Dr. William Soto preached to us on September 23rd of 2012, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, he tells us, in other words, a time is coming when God will be speaking face to face with Israel, and it will be through the ministry of Moses and Elijah, and then through the Messiah. And that is very near, just as there was a silence there in the passage that we read in chapter 23, verse 23 to 25 of Leviticus, in the Feast of the Trumpets, where the reason for that feast that was being commemorated was not explained. Likewise, when the seventh seal is opened in Revelation chapter 8, it says, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. On page 196 from the Book of Quotations, on the paragraph 924, it tells us, but what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood, for he was a father. And the only way that he could express it was to become a son, a man. Above he writes, God loved fatherhood. And he writes next to 924, he writes on the left, SM, that is Son of Man. That is the reason Jesus kept saying the Son of Man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. But you get it? See? He wanted to express himself. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages to the right. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin, and he writes Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now there had to be some way to get it back again. And he writes the restoration between God and man. Now, look in this message at Kadesh Barnea. There he tells us, on page 21 of this message at Kadesh Barnea, it says, what was those little springs? Are churches representing that went out where the judgment begins at the house of God. Jesus said so. The Bible said so. Judgment begins at the house of God. We are in the house of God tonight, and you've got to make your decision. You've got to make your decision whether you'll come to Christ or whether you'll turn him down tonight. Every sinner in here has got to make that decision right now. There he writes, the judgment in the house of God. You'll either go out of that door a better man or a woman than what you come in, or you'll go out worse than you was when you came in. You can't stand mediocre tonight. You've got to make it. This was on my heart, now it's on. It was on my heart, now it's on your hand. Now, on the left, he draws three circles. You've got to make your decision, and you got to make a decision. Notice the decision that Adam and Eve also made in the Garden of Eden. You've been made a good church member. Maybe you've always longed that you wanted more of God. You might wanted to do something for God. Remember, you're only mortal once, and that one time is the only time you're going to be mortal. And this may be the time that you've got to make your decision. You're either going to move up with God or stay where you're at. The decision is here. You might have to make your decision tonight. If it is, you might have to make your decision tonight. If it is, I pray that you'll throw everything loose. Remember, I don't care what it is. If it's job, if it's family, if it's loved ones, if it's associates, if it's your partners or whoever it is, turn loose of everything. He that even puts his hand on the plow and even turns to look back is not worthy of the plowing. That's right. And there he writes, in the house of God, time to get closer to God. How do you get closer? Or to separate yourself forever. How do you separate yourself? It's when you are here in the body. How do you get closer to God? By receiving the fulfillment of His coming. How do you turn away? By rejecting Him. As simple as that. Lay aside every weight and the sin does so easily beset you. What is that? Lay aside every weight and the unbelief that does so easily beset you, and run His race with patience that's set before you. And He writes there, weight of sin equals all that leads to sin, to unbelief. Now, notice, where we read on page 106, paragraph 924, that last sentence there says, now, He could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them, so now there's had to be some way to get it back again. Now, notice that He provided the provided way. But notice that every person has free will. Now, look, our brother William continues to say here, and also when Christ was speaking of the coming of the Son of Man, and then He went into parables and spoke of the fig tree, which is Israel, that when we see it budding and putting forth its leaves, summer is near, meaning the kingdom of God is near for the restoration of the King of David, that is the kingdom of God with Israel on earth. On page 70 of the book of quotations, the paragraph 604, it tells us, all these great promises of great things that you've seen in the Bible, like what's going to take place, that's over into the Jewish kingdom, not here amongst the Gentiles. I believe that they will have a rally by this one that's supposed to come to restore the faith of the people, which is promised. And the only way I can get that, because He said immediately after this message that the earth will be burned with heat fire. Above there He writes, Moses and Elijah, Jewish kingdom. And above there He writes, the earth burned. Moses and Elijah, Jewish kingdom, and on top, the earth burned, and under that, under Moses and Elijah, He writes Matthew 21:31. And on the left upwards, He writes the Jewish kingdom, the gathering, Revelation 11, and Revelation 14, verse 1. Our brother William continues to say here in this message, and he had also said in Luke chapter 21 that when these things begin to come to pass, to lift up our heads to heavenly things, of course, for our redemption, the redemption is the redemption of the body, our transformation, and the resurrection in eternal bodies of the believers who died. Our redemption, the adoption, draws nigh. Our transformation is near. When we see these things happening, and we are seeing for years that it's happening, the fig tree, Israel, it has become budded. It is a free and sovereign nation. On page 68, paragraph 592, it tells us, prophesy, Son of Man, can these bones live? Which we had time I got wrote down here, but I have to miss that prophecy. Can these bones live? What's the fourth stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise be to God. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same signs. On the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and there he writes, light. And the last three, 1, 2, 3, and the fourth, the cornerstone, and he draws light rays. And on the left as well, the same thing, fourth light, a cornerstone, and the ages. And he numbers them. He numbers them up to the fourth there. Watch, justification. 1, brought back the pulp. 2, sanctification brought back the bark, doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostal, what is it? And he writes there, 3, Pentecostals, leaf, clap their hand, joy, rejoicing, Pentecostal. 4, what? The fourth was the word itself, the word made flesh, fruits of the proof of the restoration sign that Christ has finally, after justification, been planted, sanctification been planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself like the cap of that pyramid. And there he draws on the right a Star of David, and he writes, the cornerstone. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap. And there he draws a little cornerstone. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that it can fit with the same kind of ministry that he had when he went away, that when he comes back, and he writes there in his coming, when he comes back, it'll catch or take the whole thing in the rapture. There on the right, he also draws a cornerstone and the last three, and he numbers them. And he writes rapture on the bottom left, on the left at the bottom. He had when he went away that when he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing or take the whole thing in the rapture, where they justified, sanctified, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. Masterpiece, he writes there, and he draws above a cornerstone and the ages. Now, that writing, I think we read it in Africa, where he writes to us there, in the four stages of restoration of Israel, there are men, a leader, a man for every stage of this restoration. First stage equals an earthquake, every bone becoming together with the one that pertains to it. Second stage, third stage, fourth stage, the entrance of the Holy Spirit into the body, nation of Israel. He comes in a man made flesh. The Spirit of God has entered Israel. The Spirit of God entered Israel. That prophecy already, Ezekiel chapter 37, it tells us, and notice, chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And he draws a Star of David there on the left, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon this slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as they commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. There on the left upwards he writes, Matthew 24:31, Revelation 22:17, 19:11-21, and 11 from 3 to 6. Now, notice, that is the ministry of Moses and Elijah. It is the coming of the white horse rider of Revelation 19, and Revelation 11 are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. But how? Notice, it's the same. Because what the seventh seal is to the church, the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, Moses and Elijah. Now, look at this other writing. Three stages have already been fulfilled, and the fourth stage is left, where the Holy Spirit returns to Israel as a people. Now, how is that God fulfills everything, and it is spoken in such a simple way, and the great work that God has been carrying out and is carrying out and will continue to carry out in that way where, notice, the world stays the same, but in the divine program it is fulfilled, and we are further along, very far along, more than we can imagine. Now, notice, he continues saying, now, look, we traveled through four continents before going to Israel. Now, look, it continues to say, so we can see that we have to have our minds, our heads, on set on heavenly things, which are the permanent ones, because through the final trumpet, the voice of God says here in the scripture that he is going to judge all nations, and the divine judgment is going to come upon the human race, upon nation, even upon the stars and all these things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, in the message or in the book, the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 12, it says, here on page 12 it says, like each seal broken in the word of God reveals to the man of the age what age we are living in, the spirit of the age, the church of the age, Revelation 10. At the end, we find when the last seal was broke, we find the angel standing with one foot on the land and one on the sea, with his hands up in heaven and a rainbow over his head, swearing by him that lives forever and ever, that time has run out when the last seal. And he writes the redemption in the second coming, because the last seal is the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord. And you wait till we get in them seals and see where that seal is at. After you find the 70 weeks, then see where the seals are. Time has run out. Redemption is over. He is now the lion and the judge. He is your savior this morning, but one day he will be your judge. Above he writes, the time of redemption is over, says the mighty angel of Revelation 10 from 1 to 10. He writes above, in the margin, the time of redemption is over, says the mighty angel of Revelation 10. Here in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel is that part about the pardon that the judge granted him. But who was his attorney before? I don't know if it was here. If you can find it, we can read it. Because Brother Branham speaks about there. I don't know if it is in this book of the 70 weeks. It should be here in the... I didn't have it marked to read it, but let's see if we can find it quickly. Let's see the... Page 12, yes. It's the 13 here, in this one. Or page 10 from the book in English. You remember the pardon that the man was shot that I sometimes tell during the Civil War? Now, there is another story. It must be in another one. Another book where he talks about, yes, but I used to be the attorney, but now I am the judge. But in this case, he talks about how a pardon is not a pardon until it is accepted. But let's read it. He was a good man. He was innocent. And they found him guilty. Although he was guilty in a way that he ran away in the time of battle. And they found him guilty, and he was going to shoot him. And a man went to the President Lincoln and said, Mr. Lincoln, this is a Christian man. He was scared. The boy, I know his people. He was just afraid. He didn't mean no harm. He ran away. Said, Mr. Lincoln, it's in your hands. You're the only one who can pardon him. Now remember that the only place there is mercy, Brother Branham says, that is, through Elijah and Moses, he who receives his message receives mercy. Mr. Lincoln picked up a piece of paper and his pen and signed, pardon this so-and-so, Abraham Lincoln. He ran back to the jail and said, here it is, I got your pardon. And the man said, I refuse to look at it. It would have a big seal on it. It would have been everything. You're only trying to make me a laughing stock. It's not Abraham Lincoln. That is, well, that should have a seal there. Anybody could sign his name. On the right, he writes, "Today, the seal is the Holy Spirit." Anybody could sign his name. But it would have to be documented by his seal and so forth if it comes from him. And the man persuaded him, though the man in the prison thought he was kidding, and just walked away. The next morning he was shot, and then after he was shot, then there was a federal court trial, because Abraham Lincoln, 24 hours before the man was shot, signed his name that this man was pardoned. How many times I am persuading all of those who hear me. But notice, if they don't receive it, if they don't accept it, that's an individual affair already. And then the government shot him anyhow. Then what? The federal court of the United States said, come to this decision of the federal court, and said, a pardon is not a pardon unless it is received as a pardon. Now, notice, let's see here if we can find it in this other place. What page is it? This is from the message. Let's see here, it says. Little story comes to my mind. Some time ago, a little boy was sitting in a wagon, and a gun fired down the street, and the horses ran away. He was going over a cliff. A young cowboy ran and stopped the horses just before the wagon went over the cliff, because it had a baby in it, and he saved the little one's life. There he writes, Savior, this was, we read it in the subject, eating of the tree of life. Many years after that, standing in the courthouse, this same boy had done a crime, took the road that's wrong, been guilty. He writes, Judge, and the judge raised up and said, I sentence you to hang by your neck until your mortal life is gone. That young man said, Judge? And he broke the court procession and he jumped over the rail and fell at the judge's feet for mercy. There was trust. He broke the protocol there. He jumped over there, but Judge, as if to say, you know me. He said, Judge, look at my face. Don't you know me? How sad that is. When the time will come, when they will say that, and they will be told, I know you not. That will be very sad when they come. I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. That's what happened to this young man. Judge, look at me. Look at my face. Don't you know me? He said, No, son, I don't. He said, You remember a certain little boy's life that you saved many years ago from a runaway horse? He said, Yes, I remember it. He said, I am that boy. He said, Judge, the young man said, You saved me then. Save me now. The judge looked down at him and said, Son, that day I was your savior. Today I am your judge. In the book of the seals, he says, don't wait. The place where he says, don't wait for the change or for him to be judge. Your time is now. He says something like that. Now, look. There is also a place here in this same book of a writing that he but we can find it later, where he speaks about that now he is judge. In other words, he would change from lamb to lion, in other words, to judge. Here, look, he writes there, there's also a place where it says, a pardon is not a pardon until it is received as a pardon. He writes there on the back as well. Now, look, in this message titled, The Stone Cut Out Without Hands, which was preached on November 12th of 2012 here in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, the world system of the kingdoms of the Gentiles is about to collapse, and consequently the feet of iron and clay are to be broken to pieces. And after that it says that the stone cut without hands, cut out of the mountain, grew and became a great empire, a great kingdom, which filled the whole earth. The stone cut out without hands is the Messiah in his coming at the last day. Page 117 of the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, which would be the page 100 from the book in English. It says, here it is, the paragraph 137. Now, because that they are in shape, see where I got this shaped here, like the pyramid, the rising of the saints, makes the mark into glory. You understand it now? Christ, the headstone, the rejected stone, the all-seeing eye. There on the left he writes, the stone, the eye. The all-seeing eye, coming exactly like the Bible said, and Daniel said he watched this Gentile age until the stone, and he writes Christ on top, until the stone come out of the mountain, and he writes church above, that wasn't cut with hand. They have never put a capstone on the pyramid. Now, where did it come from? From the mountain, from the church, in the ages where we read there. If you read a little further back, let's see there. On page, here is 118. Let's see something here so we don't forget. And this one would be the 171 from the book in English. The second son, Jesus. One 171 in this book, in English. The second son, Jesus, also a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like was Adam, but before he could marry her, she also had fallen. She, like Adam's wife, was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live or doubt the word and live. She doubted. She left the word, she died, and he writes, your first love. From a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. And he writes there, a word son. Notice where we're reading here from the 70 weeks of Daniel. where does that stone comes from? He says, from the mountain. In other words, he says, the church that wasn't cut with hand. They have never put a capstone on that pyramid. It wasn't cut by man's hand. It's God's hand that cut the stone. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages. You see it? And what did it do? It hit the image right smack in the feet, and it broke it to pieces, grounded into powder. Hallelujah! What happened at that time, the coming of that stone? Up went the church into glory at the rapture, because it ended the Gentile dispensation. God ended it up, the coming of that stone. And he writes on the left, the stone, rapture, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes on the right towards the top, the coming of the stone ends the Gentile dispensation. The coming of the stone ends the Gentile dispensation. Now, our brother William continues to say, and his kingdom, his empire, will grow and cover the whole earth with its capital in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, and all the territory of Israel as federal district. And that is how Israel will become the head of all nations, just as the federal district, along with its capital, is the head of every nation. Likewise, it will be the head of the global kingdom of the Messiah, Israel, with Jerusalem as the capital of that kingdom, because Jerusalem is the city of God. It is the throne of God, where the throne of the Messiah will be, which is called the throne of David, which will be restored by the Prince Messiah as the son of David. And therefore, the kingdom of David will be restored, and that will be the coming of the kingdom of God to Israel. This is how the kingdom of God will come to Israel, and the kingdom of God will be restored to Israel, which will be the restoration of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God on earth is the kingdom of David, and the throne of God on earth is the throne of David. On page 112, also in the 70 weeks of Daniel, which would be page 96 from the book in English, here it tells us, it is the paragraph 118, how Pentecostal brother how can you apply them all over here in the Laodicean church age? They're sleeping through every one of these ages waiting. And we, which are alive, the little remaining bunch over here, remain alive until the coming of the Lord will not hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There he writes on the left towards the top, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and we shall be caught up together with them. Amen. With them. Here we are meeting right here to go to meet the Lord in the air. And there you are. Where we at? Right here. Where did the Messiah get cut off? Exactly where the word said. Where would that 70th week begin? Exactly after this church is cut off. Then God returns to the Jews. And there on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes, the remnant. Now, notice, this is when the dispensation of grace ends. Don't you remember that as soon as the church goes, and then the Jews take a hold, come in. But first, the next thing in order is not a mighty national revival amongst the Gentiles. The next thing in order is the coming of the kingdom of God, the coming of Christ. And he draws a little cornerstone on the left. And on the right, he writes Revelation 19, 11 to 21, 10 from 1 to 11, and 7 verse 2. And above that, he writes Mount Transfiguration. Now, he continues to say, in this other message, titled A Divine Mind, a divine goal, I correct myself, a divine goal, the restoration of the Kingdom of David, preached on November 30 of 2012 in Panama, he tells us. In order for the Kingdom of God be restored on earth, which will be the restoration of the Kingdom of David, the tribe of Joseph, made up of the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh, must be united. Manasseh represents the Jews, which are represented in 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe, and Ephraim also represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where the birthright blessing is, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would become a multitude of nations, has the largest part of that blessing, and Manasseh would form a great nation, that is Israel, a mighty nation. Now, notice, the birthright blessing is in Joseph. What did he tell Ruthie? He told her it is because he has the birthright blessing. Now, notice, in other words, the blessing for the formation of Israel as a mighty nation fell upon Manasseh, and the blessing to become a multitude of nations, as it was given to Abraham, that his seed would form a multitude of nations, and then that blessing is given to Ephraim. Now, notice how everything moves for the fulfillment of that word that was spoken from God by the mouth of a prophet named Jacob or Israel. On page 169 from the Book of Quotations, look on paragraph 1507. It tells us, shout, a messenger getting the people ready. The second is the voice of the resurrection, the same voice that a loud voice in St. John 11:38-44 that called Lazarus from the grave. Getting the bride together, and then the resurrection of dead to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things that take place. The next is what? Was a trumpet, a voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Now, the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the Feast of the Trumpets is calling the people to the feast. And that'll be the bride's supper, the lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. And he draws on the left a cornerstone and the ages there on the corner, and he writes upwards on the left the voice of the resurrection. And also above he writes, shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Now, there is a portion here in the message, the booklet of the rapture, on page 24-25 in the booklet in English, and let's see what he tells us there. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. That is 1 Thessalonians 4:13-16. Three things happens. A shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout, Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. And he writes there, God will do it through a prophet, all three things. A shout, what is the shout? It's the message going forth first. There he draws a cornerstone, and he writes, 6 to 9 a.m. The living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He's the unchanging God. In Amos 3:7, he said he would do nothing on earth until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And just as certain as he promised it, he'll do it. And he draws a cornerstone there, and the ages. Now, our brother William continues to say, it had to be spoken in order to move for its fulfillment. That is the way it is done. God's thought, God's word. When that divine thought passes to the heart and the mind of the prophet by whom that word has to be spoken, and when it is spoken, it is already word of God, the word of God. Surely the Lord will do nothing without revealing his secrets to whom? To his servants. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. For that word of God, there is a famine upon the earth at this time. Amos chapter 8 verse 11. Now, look, he writes to us here. In a note card, he writes, Moses and Israel's marriage with God on Mount Sinai. God divorced Israel, and Moses has to return for the new marriage of Israel with God. Moses and the Israel's marriage with God on Mount Sinai. God divorced Israel and Moses, in other words, the ministry of Moses, and Moses has to return for the new marriage of Israel with God. There is a writing also in a notebook where he wrote there, look, whenever there has been a change, I took a picture of it. Let's see if I can find it here, because it's rather long. Let's see if you are able to see it on the screen. So that you can follow along with the reading. Although there are parts that are very small, because he writes in between. And it has scriptures. But look, he writes, whenever there has been a change, it has been because there was a change of age or dispensation in the divine program. Even if human beings have not realized in their time, nor through the person who brought it, and the law of sowing and reaping was fulfilled, then history records it and they realize it, though too late for some in that generation, because they overlook it, because it is in such a simple way. Then it is said that that generation was very unbelieving because they didn't understand the divine program, the days of Noah. He writes, the days of Noah, and then in between, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, destroyed them all. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The ignorance of the human condition before God brought them destruction because of ignorance. Now, he also writes there to the left side, and they ignored the things that would come to pass. He writes there several scriptures as well. The days of Moses, the days of Elijah. Jesus and the apostles brought the preparation for the second millennium, which was starting in its first century. They brought, and he writes there, the days of Jesus, they brought the preparation for the second millennium under the dispensation of grace. It is the message of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And he also writes the days of the apostles of Jesus, of the first coming of Jesus Christ, producing all the advancement that there is on earth. A teaching produced that preparation to enter into the dispensation of grace. Notice how a teaching as well, which is the teaching under the tent, prepares the church bride to enter fully in the glorious millennial kingdom into the dispensation of the kingdom and into that kingdom of the Messiah, that kingdom of the throne of David. Now, Our brother William continues to say here, the soul of mankind, of human beings, what? Hungers for that word of God at this end time, for that word that must be spoken at this end time. It says that there will be a famine on earth, not of bread nor water, and not a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And the word comes to whom? What? To the prophets. For this reason, for that spiritual food of the word of God to come, and that water of God, that word, must come by being spoken, and for that reason God must send a man with both consciences together, to whom that word comes and who speaks it. And so that it is when the word of God for the last day, as it was in times past. In the Book of the Seals, on page 409, look, there he tells us, halfway down the page, here we are, these denominations twisted up, they take the glory, all the glory and power, place it back with the apostles, and the rest of it in the millennium. It's just like a man. As I said it before, a man is always giving God praise for what he has done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he is doing right now. That's exactly. Man is still the same thing. Above that, on the left of that paragraph, he writes, out of 10 things. Now, let's stop there for a moment. Look, on page 19 is where he speaks to us about that. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do, and always looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he is doing. See? See? That's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he done, but they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. See? And then they look forward and see a great thing coming that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's already happening right around them. And it is so simple that they don't know it, see? And he writes there 9 out of 10 things. On page 26, he tells us, look, on page 26, he says, now, then again in Moses' day, notice another time of deliverance. When God is just about to do something to deliver his people, God sends a message to the people, and it is so simple as we will catch in the breaking of these seals. That was my purpose of bringing this first, that we find out that the breaking of those seals is so simple, the smart miss it, a million miles. And he writes on the left, simplicity, and on the right, a cornerstone and the ages. See? I hope that God anoints me for it. See? See? It just goes over to the top. And that's the reason I thought this message this morning would be appropriate to lay the foundation on the simplicity of God. See? How God hides himself in simplicity. Just think, they can break atoms and do everything else, but when it comes to touching life, they can't even tell where it come from. A simple blade of grass, and God is hid in it. They can fire a rocket to the moon and shoot a radar over there and whatever more, and yet can explain the life in the blade of a grass. That's right, see, it's because it can't be explained. It's so simple they overlooked that. Now notice, Moses, in the day that God was going to deliver the children of Israel, according to his word, he, what did he do? He chose a family, simple family, we have no record of them. See, just a son of Levi is all we know, see? And so we, and his wife, just a ordinary, probably a mud dauber, as the world would think, out of their make and break for the enemy. He was just an ordinary slave in Israel, but God chose that family to bring forth the deliverer, just an ordinary Jewish family. He never went and got royalty and celebrity, or something, or even got some priest. He took a common, ordinary family, see? Simplicity. Notice what he done. Then he brought forth a child, a simple human being. He could have ordained the son, if he wanted to deliver them, or could have ordained the wind to deliver them, or could have ordained an angel to deliver them. Oh, hallelujah! God can do whatever he wants to do. Well, how do you know then, Brother Branham? God won't leave his program. That's the reason we know that this day it's got to be simple. See? See? Now, he always worked in simplicity, but God, in the beginning, that could have made the sun preach the gospel, or the winds preach the gospel, or an angel preach the gospel, but he ordained men for that purpose, and he never changes it. He never ordained denomination, he never ordained groups of men, he ordained men to preach the gospel, not machinery, mechanical devices, or any angelic being, it was men. And when he brought deliverance to the people down there, he sent a simple human being, born of a simple family in a bunch of slaves. Oh my, what a God he is! Unfolding himself in simplicity. Now, notice, and he had him trained in worldly wisdom so that he could fail and show that it isn't wisdom that we will ever be delivered by. It's by faith that we are delivered. And there he writes, delivered by faith. He let him go in there and get such an education until he could teach the Egyptians wisdom. He was so smart. So was Paul. God was with that simple people who could perhaps maybe not write their name. And Moses was took into the highest of schooling with such a great education till he could teach the wisdom to the teachers. He could teach the geniuses. Yes, and God let him get that way so he could display himself in humility to show that wisdom has nothing to do with it. He wrote there, on the left, simple, and Moses miserably failed in his genius and let him get that way for his purpose so that he would fail. And he did fail, and he fell. So to show, not by power, not by might, but not by the wisdom of Egypt, not by the wisdom of our schools, not by the power of our seminaries, but not by the amount of our organizations, not by the power of our scholarly teachers, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. His wisdom was vanished, and at its end, when he met God in the burning bush there, he took off his shoes and humbled himself to humility and forgot all about his wisdom. Now look, Moses' wisdom completely vanished when he met God. Now, notice, when our brother Branham saw the pillar of fire there working and talking to someone, notice, there was a people there who had taken off their sandals, their shoes, which is the gospel of grace, because they would be standing before the pillar of fire. And they cast aside all human wisdom to receive the teaching that had been promised, which would be given in a great tent cathedral. Now, look, in the message, this great warrior, Joshua, on page 16, he tells us, now, look, he said, I will send you a sign. There will be a pillar of fire will lead you all the way. He draws a cornerstone and the edges on the right. You just follow it. It'll take you. It's so simple to follow the pillar of fire. That's right. And they got right up there. And the pillar of fire turned to be a man. He said, I am the captain of the hosts of the Lord, said, we've come this far, now let's go on. And on the left he writes, in the promised land. Now, there was all that great land before them, all military men. And now the captain of the host of the Lord, he was a military man too. So he said, now Joshua, now don't you fear, I'll be with you, and no man can stand before you all days of your life. Oh my, Joshua said, now we're going to see what the land looks like. Now look, in this writing that our brother William left us here, he says, by believing the word made manifest in human flesh, one receives what God sends it for. What that incarnate word says must be fulfilled in the believers, which used to be what the written word says. Jesus said, it is written. It is, or it was the written word made flesh yesterday. And it has been the same thing in each age and in each dispensation, the written word made flesh. That is why Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. He who hears my word has everlasting life. The secret is, in the written word made flesh, made a reality, fulfilled in a man. There lies the secrets. The secret is in the written word made flesh, made a reality, fulfilled in a man. Now look, he continues to say here on page 28, where we stopped, God bringing deliverance had to train him in wisdom to let him fall, to show that you cannot lean upon the arm of our own understanding or anybody else's understanding. Let him fall to show his hand. Can you see it? Can you see it? God's purpose in doing so was to display himself in humility, and he let Moses become the highest until he would be the next Pharaoh. He was a mighty general. According to history, he conquered Moses himself, the countries around, and then, when he turned to the work of the Lord with all of his talent, God let him take a headlong topple so that he could put him out there on the desert and beat all of that out of him, and then appears to him in humility. There he writes Moses, and send him down with a stick in his hand to deliver his people. He writes there, a stick equals the word. When he couldn't do it by a military training, by a scientific education, and by military force, he couldn't do it. And he gave him an old crooked stick of the desert, and he did it with him. God in humility, simplicity, God was in the stick and in Moses. And there he writes, simple, on the right. And as long as Moses had the stick, then God had it, because God was in Moses. Now, look, he writes above, a stick equals the word, and he also writes, delivered by faith in his word. Now look, in this writing, there where he writes in this notebook, the shepherd's staff equals the shepherd's word. The rod equals the creative word, which Moses and Elijah will have today. The shepherd's staff equals the shepherd's word. The rod equals the creative word, which Moses and Elijah will have today. And there he writes Matthew 24 from 42 to 47. Let's finish there on page 409, which is where we left off, 409, in the Book of the Seals in English. There were them Jews standing there saying, glory to God. Why? at the 6th chapter of St. John said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness, and Jesus said, they are everyone dead. They drank water from the rock in the wilderness, and everything, he said, I am that rock. That's right, amen, he said, but I am the bread of life that come from God's out of heaven. And he circles I am on both occasions where Brother Branham says it there. That tree of life from Eden back yonder, he draws there on the left a Star of David. If a man eats his bread, he shall not die. I'll rise him up in the last day, and still couldn't see it. That's right. The very Messiah standing there, speaking the very words in their heart, and things like that, showing that he was the Messiah, just what Messiah was supposed to do, and them standing there with their hands behind them. And it can't be. No, he didn't come in the right trend. See, he come out of Bethlehem, and he's nothing but an illegitimate child, and that's the devil's working on him. We know he's mad, he's crazy, he's got a devil. They spoke all of that to Jesus. See, their eyes were actually blinded to that. Now, but they are looking for their prophet, and they are going to receive it, going to receive two of them. That's right. And he writes there, Israel is waiting for a prophet. And he writes, Revelation 11, I will give you another little symbol so that you can realize it's Jews over here now in this side of the rapture. Now, our brother William continues to say, for the restoration of the kingdom of God or kingdom of David, the word must also be spoken in order to be materialized at the last day. For that same word that was spoken by other prophets to be spoken and positioned correctly at the end time, so that it is fulfilled, becomes a reality, is spoken at the time in which it must be fulfilled, which is the last day. There is another writing here where he also shows us. I also took a picture of this one because it's a little long. Look, there he says, under which dispensation will we live? What change will there be? In the next millennium, all nations and all people expect the Lord Jesus Christ to begin his reign over all nations, having Jerusalem as the capital of the entire world and federal district or central district. There will be knowledge and prosperity in all the earth. Somewhere in the next millennium, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be or will be ruled and ruled, and the whole world will be ruled. Revelation 11:15, and some scriptures there. The nation that does not come to Jerusalem from year to year during the feast of the booths in Jerusalem to worship God the King or the King, a plague will fall, will come upon them, and there will be no rain upon them. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8 to 12. The divine thought is recorded in the Bible, and God materializes his thoughts. That is the work of God. The spiritual part is the most important part for the human being, because it is the one that governs the soul and the whole being. Therefore, we all need to be prepared for the ushering into the next millennium, the preparation of the Latin American youth for the next millennium, for a better world will be better than the past ones, for it will be a kingdom of peace, of happiness, of prosperity, and love. The prophecies for the restoration of the kingdom of David. That has been, in this occasion, this short teaching study for this occasion, conscious that there are countless prophecies that must be fulfilled and are being fulfilled at this time. And The most important part is ours, which is to receive all of that word, all of that teaching, which Brother Branham said would be spoken, and that the thunders would bring that final revival. Let's stand. I don't know if they have a song so that we can stretch a little bit. And there are times when the studies are a little bit longer, and many people, well, to avoid missing the writings, sometimes they stay until the whole time. Those who cannot take it for so long, perhaps once in a while, every once in a while they go to the bathroom, but most of them try to take advantage as much as they can. And then later there are times, once we have this space of time, they take advantage while we start getting ready to receive the message for today. So they go out for a little bit, or others, once our brother William reads the scripture and says we can see it, then they go to the bathroom, because sometimes they wait for 2 to 3 hours. And they have asked me, some of them, that because they hold it for a long time, sometimes people have to go. And I said, look, if they already have the message since Friday, or even before, they have already read it, for sure, wait until he reads the scripture and he says that we can sit. And then if they have to go to the bathroom for a bit, and go, but always with reverence. Don't go out all, go with reverence, because they say, no, you cannot do that. But check, during the study, those people go to the bathroom maybe 4 or 5 times. So what are we talking about then? We cannot judge people. However, the person does it, as long as he does it with reverence, he can do it. We are at a time in which we are being prepared. And because we are still in these bodies, well, we have limitations, but don't worry. Soon, we won't have to go to the bathroom or to drink water or eat. But rather, there was a sample with that cake that the angel made for Elijah. He lasted 40 days and 40 nights without eating anything else. There was a tremendous multivitamin in what he ate. In other words, by the spoken word, look, you can speak. Things are always simple, and it doesn't necessarily have to be something specific, because if the word is spoken, Lord, may the food that God's elect eat in this moment last and strengthen them. Look, you can eat a little candy, and you can eat a little meat or something, and God has already blessed that food. See how simple it is? Because the word is being spoken, and all the person has to do is to believe it. God blesses that food and gives him strength. And by the time he realizes it, he doesn't need to eat anything more. There will come times when there will be no limitations, and it will also be a lot of work. Brother Branham says that the line was unlimited, it was endless. In other words, we will all have a part in helping all of those people that are coming there. And how much time will we have? Maybe just a moment to go check on things. Make sure that they are all right and come back. But God will give us strength at that time, and we will be able to say, wait, I haven't eaten anything for 4 or 5 days. I didn't realize when was the last time. Everything will be so simple that we ourselves will say, but wait, I'm not getting tired. All of that has to do with adoption. May God soon have bodies like that without limitations, and may we experience that in these earthly bodies. That will be very soon. Well, let's sing a song, a hymn. And this, I don't know if we have read this before. It is something very important about how to get closer to God and how to separate oneself from God. And all of that is in this time, while we are, or while the person is in his body of flesh. Afterward, he won't be able to decide. I don't know what song you might have prepared for this occasion. We can sing the song number 6, How Wonderful is the Lord. How wonderful is the Lord! How wonderful is His Word! By His grace we stand, and my heart rejoices today. How wonderful is the Lord! Who manifests himself in simplicity, speaking to the people face to face, through an anointed man today. The High and Exalted One, the One who dwells in eternity, today dwells in the midst of His church, incarnate in simplicity. The High and Exalted One, the One who dwells in eternity, wrote my name in His book, and my being He came to transform. A white eagle sealed us with the eternal name of God. That is the seal of the living God to leave this dimension. That white eagle is the prophet promise for our age to deliver us from this world and fly into eternity. The High and Exalted One, the One who dwells in eternity, today dwells in the midst of His church, incarnate in simplicity. The High and Exalted One, the One who dwells in eternity, wrote my name in His book, And my being, he came to transform. The High and Exalted One, the One who dwells in eternity, today dwells in the midst of His church, incarnate in simplicity. The High and Exalted One, the One who dwells in eternity, wrote my name in His book, and my being He came to transform. He wrote my name in His book, and my being He came to transform. Amen. The prophecies for the restoration of the kingdom of David. Let's thus leave with us in this subject our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.